do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it right now.
Oh,
still what she said, I think.
Almost live from a very cool corner in Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Woo!
Featuring Ted Sampson and Christiana D.
Yay.
Now, push your earbuds in a little deeper. Here's Nate.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back for another episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks again to Nick for sitting in last week.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. It was fun.
It was.
No one could have seen Billy Ocean taking over the show, but he did.
No one expects Billy Ocean.
Well, especially not Nick, because he had no idea who Billy Ocean was, which is just incomprehensible to me.
He's just a kid.
I know, but still.
He is a pup.
Still, it's Billy Ocean. Now he knows.
As soon as Billy Ocean guests on Star Trek, then
it'll
be good.
Coming up on today's show, we've got some accidents caused by ski boots, but not on the slopes. Threesomes that went wrong, and a lot of small town news.
Yay.
But first up, I want to talk about our Amazon page. If you're going to shop Amazon, please go through NateDarlingShow.com and click the Amazon tab. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and it's a really awesome thing for you to do. Yay.
Yay.
So go ahead and do that.
If you want to get Nate a belated birthday present, go through Amazon. His birthday is going to be yesterday when this podcast comes
February 19th.
Okay, let's make it less complicated.
So depending on when you're listening.
That's good. Right. This is like a birthday-rich week.
It is.
My dad's birthday's coming up on Saturday. Happy birthday, Dad.
As we record this, my buddy Jimmy Ass Cheeks is having his birthday. That's just a nickname. If you were wondering.
The Jimmy or the Ass Cheeks?
The Ass Cheeks part. His name is Jim, yes.
All right.
His birthday is the day before mine, so happy birthday. I've got a bunch of people. My friend James from high school's birthday is this week. Mm. Several people last week. A lot of cool people born in February.
That's some presidents, I think. I've heard.
I've heard, yeah. I had to work, so I don't know.
Oh, boo.
I know nothing of this. I do know I share a birthday with Smokey Robinson.
Well, theirs.
And Justine Bateman.
That's pretty cool.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not really that cool.
Well, would you prefer a different Bateman?
I would.
Or better Bateman?
Well, now Jason Bateman would be better.
That's true.
I think it would be cooler to share a birthday with fictional serial killer Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, actually, if I had to pick my Bateman.
You'd have to listen to Huey Lewis in the news too much.
I like Huey Lewis in the news. Coming up next week, we have our Oscar Special Awards show. It's the
Oscar.
Golden Naked Man Awards. That's right. Golden Naked Man Awards. They will be recorded right after the Oscar show. It will be available to you late Sunday night or early Monday morning, depending on where you are. It'll be a lot of fun. We've got some cool categories, cool awards to give out. We did it last year, and we're polishing it up a little bit, and the Naked Man is even shinier. And starting, that means next week, there'll be that show and our regular show. And the week after that, we start our two shows per week. So we'll have a new show.
Wow.
Can you handle it?
Double your pleasure.
New show was Wednesday and Friday for you.
That's crazy.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. So
nuts.
So shop Amazon through us.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
You should.
Twice as much.
Twice a week. You should shop Amazon.
Support the show. And if you're somebody who reads on your Kindle or sort of ebook reader, you can go ahead and do that. You can go right to the Kindle store through our site, buy a Kindle book that way, have it sent right to your e-reader. And we get credit for it. It's awesome.
Wow.
Wow.
What a country.
Yeah. It's a great deal.
I don't know.
So we were going to discuss the State of the Union, but none of us watched it, so.
But I wanted to. I had a work event that night, and they didn't check with our planning office first. I mean, the president didn't check with us first.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have. But I was doing something else that was kind of political, so I feel like that should count somehow.
But you didn't feel compelled to go. Not that I did, to go watch it after the fact either.
I did. I felt compelled to do it, but I was super busy.
It's cool.
I was helping make sure that democracy was being learned by each generation, which is the motto of YMCA Youth and Government, and that's what I've been doing for the past 5 times 24 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's that math?
A lot,
yeah.
120.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
that's actually pretty
that's
close.
Good. That's really good.
That's pretty much what it is, yeah.
There you go.
Math major. Not really. Oh, thank you.
Doing other stuff with teenagers and the future.
Future.
I was covering for a sick coworker, so
There you go.
There's been a lot of the flu.
Wait,
going
you
around.
Work at the news. I feel like you should have been watching the news.
Except I
wait,
was,
which flu? I don't want to.
I have no idea, and I
is
don't.
Is it like
have
the
it.
Barfy kind?
You know what?
I don't want to.
I don't think he had the barfy kind. I had another coworker who called me last night as we were recording this, and he apparently got. He went to a friend's house and they made dinner like salmon, like a nice dinner, and then he threw up at their place.
Fantastic.
Oh.
And so he called me to give me a heads up that he might be out today, and he was.
Ooh.
Ugh.
So it's going around. If you're out in public, you can't avoid it. So you just gotta, you know, hand sanitizer, wash your hands, and cross your fingers. That's kind of how you got to go. Wow. But the problem was when the State of the Union was on, it was when I had to be really busy writing news teases for our late news. So I didn't really have time to do that at that point. Mm. The timing was just awful. Really, honestly.
Good job, Mr. President.
Yeah, he ruins everything.
I don't think I have nearly as good as excuse as you two for not watching the State of the Union address. But I'm sure what he said was fine. Yeah, I approve.
You're on Team Obama? And you're just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Nah, well, I skimmed the notes, something about middle class jobs, taxes, you know, health care. All good things.
Less shooting people.
Trees.
I can get to the third page.
Guns. Boo. Medicine. Yay. Wars. Boo. Kind of.
Yeah.
Asterisk.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Asterisk.
I think that pretty much sums it up. That is the best synopsis of the State of the Union you're going to hear. Last week we talked about the Grammy Awards, and the thing that was really sort of catching everybody's attention was a picture of what looked like Adele yelling at Chris Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you weren't here, so you get a pass, but I said, we don't know what she was saying. It's just a picture taken in time.
I would have said that with you.
Yeah. You just don't know. And it turns out she wasn't yelling at him. She wasn't scolding him at all for remaining seated during Frank Ocean's standing ovation at the Grammys.
Frank Ocean wasn't even a person until he got punched by Chris Brown, right?
I know.
I mean, did anybody know who Frank Ocean was?
I thought he was Billy Ocean's younger brother.
No, not related at all.
Oh, I got nothing.
Yeah, and he does this terrible Forrest Gump thing that I'm going to play in the background as we talk about this. So now rumors circulated that... God, that's awful.
No wonder he got punched in the face.
That Adele had choice words for the R&B singer based on a photo of the two of them. But she went on Twitter to dismiss it because that's where you do stuff like that.
It's true.
This is what she said. Chris Brown and I were complimenting each other in that photo, actually.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go. They're apparently fans of one another's work. And while she... or she liked the white angelic look that he wore when he went to the Grammys.
Okay.
And she wore what apparently looked like old lady curtains for a dress. I'm not sure what that is. But there's a picture of them together smiling.
Okay, well, they're BFFs.
Yeah.
Well, if I say...
Pictures are not the truth. Neither are videos, actually. None of that shit can really necessarily give you...
If you want facts, go to Twitter, people. That's where it comes from.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Straight from the Twitterer's tweet.
I think the real thing to take away from
it... that's not serious, and I'm not sure why.
The real takeaway from this is this.
Nate, you're 100% right.
Exactly.
Wait, I don't... Okay, I got to listen to the old last week's podcast and hear how adamant I was about this issue.
Nate, you're 100% right.
Okay, Nate, we got it. You're 100% right.
Nate, you're 100% right.
I don't get tired of that. Thank you, Bald Brian from the Adam Carolla Show. Turn that down. It's god-awful.
I don't think you can believe every video audio clip you hear either. That could have been taken out of context.
Yeah. Well, audio tape can be edited. That's what people will tell you.
They will.
Usually people get caught on tape doing bad things.
Can't believe anything. That's the whole point in all this.
No, not really. I was taken aback at this, and you sent me this article, Ted.
I did.
Buckeye Leaf mistaken by Tennessee police. I don't know what this is all about. I'm really baffled at this whole story.
Who likes Ohioans anyway?
I'm not that fond of them anymore. I used to be okay with them, but now, not so much. A 65-year-old woman recently came under suspicion, she reported, for having a buckeye leaf decal on her car. The cops mistook it for a marijuana symbol. She said, it's just amazing they would be that dumb.
How is having a sticker probable cause anyway? But well, let's not,
that's
you know.
That's my whole point. It's like, wait a minute, hold on.
A sticker.
I'm driving through Tennessee, and I've got, let's say, a coexist bumper sticker on the back of my car. Now, first of all, if you have a coexist, that's a bad example. Because if you have a coexist bumper sticker on your car, you're probably a really bad driver. So,
what?
It's
hippies
true.
Can't drive.
Oh, no, they can't.
Nate,
it's bad.
That's such crock.
It's bad. But let's say you've got the stick figure stickers on the back of your car, and you know, police pull you over for favoring anorexia or something like that.
Yeah.
Or concentration camps.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I mean, it's like if you had a picture of a line of coke on the back of your car, and the cops are like, well, that means there's coke inside. We better pull it over.
Right.
That's not how that works. Or if you had a pissing Calvin, like maybe they pull you over because you probably have abducted a small child, a small angry child who's peeing in your trunk.
Or your penis is out. One of those two things would be happening.
Yeah, that I don't get it.
Yeah, it's just the strangest thing.
Maybe it was the schnauzers.
Well, then he insisted she take it off after he pulled her over, right?
So we'll continue with the story. Two officers approached, one on each side of the car. They were very serious, she said. They had body armor and guns. Well, yeah, of course, they're cops. That's how they arrest. they asked, what are you doing with a marijuana sticker on your bumper?
Sounds more like Bama than Tennessee to me, but I guess.
Yeah, they border each other. She explained that it's actually a Buckeye leaf decal, just like the ones the Ohio State players are given on their helmets to mark good plays. He looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language.
What?
They mark good
Ohio, what is
things
that
she smoked. That's what they...
Yeah, the officer then explained that someone from outside his jurisdiction, apparently another officer, had spotted the leaf decal and thought it might indicate the car was carrying marijuana.
I seen the sticker come by.
Drugs are here. Arrow, arrow, exclamation point, shiny light.
Okay. I have to play the cop music from whenever Mel would tell a cop story. Okay, Cletus, I done seen a car go by with a marijuana sticker on the back. You might want to keep your eye out for that, son.
Roger that, roger that.
Because,
watch out for that one. It's called a Dodge Dart. It might have a poison frog in the back.
It could be, I don't know.
What? We don't let Volvos in this state. You shouldn't say that. We're a Christian state.
Somebody's driving a Lancer. You can't be performing medical stuff without a medical degree. Don't even get me started on the Ford Probe and them homosexuals.
Caravan, that sounds like some kind of Middle Eastern terrorist thing.
She was too rattled to notice what police department the officers represented, but she suspects that a joint drug interdiction effort was underway because they had passed several law enforcement vehicles from different agencies. Okay, they should know better, because I know potheads aren't the brightest sometimes, but if it's a pot dealer, he's not going to have the sticker on the side to advertise, hey, come and get your pot. It's not like the ice cream truck with the stickers of ice cream on the side.
Right. Yeah. That would be funny, though.
Come to the Potmobile.
Did you notice in the comments there was somebody who worked at an Applebee's in Ohio, which must be the worst of the worst, saying that boss pulled this person aside and said, can you take, you know, why do you have a pot leaf in your car? And they were in Ohio, and the person was like, what?
Oh,
seriously?
What state?
You gotta know when you're Ohio. Anyway, so they did let her go, but they advised her to remove the decal from her car.
That is asinine.
Yes, it is.
Oh, so Tennessee. Little old lady, not a drug dealer. Shocking, I know.
What is your cat? Never mind. Not gonna bother. Oh, he's eating dirt.
Oh well, they're after something. They're cats. Oh, that's what they do.
I guess so.
That's what they do.
Go get them.
Clawing the back of my neck.
Yeah, you don't want that. So Steve Martin.
Oh, my goodness.
Steve Martin. I got music this week.
Yeah.
Steve Martin welcomes his first child at age 67.
Dang.
The actor, renowned banjo player, this is one of his songs, and his 41-year-old wife, Ann Stringfield, are new parents. Page Six was the first to report the baby news, noting the child was born back in December. They've had a baby, and how they've kept it secret, nobody knows. Steve's very private, a source told the gossip
column.
Didn't
talk about it was, you know, one way to keep it a secret.
Yeah, there's that.
You think someone would leak it?
Not well,
unless no one cares about Steve Martin anymore.
Yeah, I think that's kind of...
Well, I think it's more that Steve Martin has friends who are adults, so they don't have to roll out onto Twitter with everything.
Right. That's you know, true.
You know, it's not like Steve Martin is dating Kanye and it gets announced live at a concert.
Although it does say in the article that he may have been alluding to his new bundle of joy in recent tweets, so...
Oh, yeah. What'd he say?
I don't know.
Oh. Boy, someone just wet their diapers.
It just said that I don't tweet, so I don't know. I'm just going by what it said in here. But I think the best The best part of this article was saying that they're thrilled, you know, an unknown source says, because they worked hard to have the baby.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that Steve Martin for Cialis? Next.
Well, I mean, even though she's significantly younger than him, a woman in her 40s is going to have to work harder to have a child.
Maybe.
It's going to be harder to conceive.
Maybe. So, for many women.
Yeah. Maybe they had to go through some sort of in vitro thing. Something a little bit different.
Well, if you made it all the way to 67 without a kid, why would you break that streak?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a big thing with celebrities.
67.
You know, I have to believe
that's
it was
old.
It is. I have to believe it was his wife that wanted a baby. And he went, okay.
She made it to 41 without a child. And well, they've been married for a while. Like, I don't.
It was an accident. No, they worked hard for it. I don't know.
They worked hard for it.
That's weird.
I always find it odd. Now you've got a kid. I always find it odd when people talk about how they're really working hard to conceive a baby. I just assume that married couples are having sex, at least on a semi-regular basis. So
yeah, but you have to have like strategically timed sex if you're trying to.
Ooh.
It's not just like, I mean, there's timing involved.
Not.
I guess.
Not
I
in the
know.
Trailer park. I know plenty of people. I know plenty of people who didn't work that hard at it who've got plenty of kids.
Well, you know, if you type A about it, then you just gotta get a schedule and a calendar. You can put it in Outlook or like a Google Doc or
sounds
something.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That is the biggest boner killer I have ever heard. Right. The schedule says it's time to bone. Get ready.
Gird your loins.
Yes, gird them.
This is for you, Kate.
No, yes, there's a song for Kate Upton.
I'm serious, I ain't kidding.
Kate Upton made the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue for the second time on the cover.
Woo!
Oh, wow, that's a sexy M&M on the back.
Mm-hmm. She is only the second. She's the first one to land back-to-back covers since Tyra Banks in 96-97. She says it was hardest shoot she's ever done. The best as well. Antarctica is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to, but I'm from Florida, so it was pretty painful. By the way, Kate, I'm from Vermont, and Antarctica is pretty painful to me, too, because cold is cold, no matter where you're from.
It doesn't look like she's actually anywhere, though. It looks like she's standing in front of a picture of Antarctica. It doesn't look like she's in Antarctica.
Well,
why did she have to go there? They shopped the shit so much. Like,
oh,
why bother?
There's photos of her kneeling in the snow. There's photos of her. There's one photo of her. She's wearing a swimsuit, but just the bottom of it. And she has a white fur muff covering her boobs. And in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, one of the things they do, because it's to show women, you know, which swimsuits they can buy, which ones the models are wearing. That's what it's about. So it's like swimsuit by this person, this amount of money, muff by this person.
Oh.
And the muff was only like $60. I would have thought it would have been more.
It's a good price for a muff.
It is.
I mean, if you go to Amazon, check the muff prices, you'll see.
Yay. Women empowerment.
Have you priced a muff lately?
So swimsuit modeling is a sport. Is that the idea here?
No. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is an annual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it celebrates women who are more athletic than necessarily the really super thin runway type models.
Oh.
You just called Kate Upton chunky.
No, I didn't.
She's thicker curvaceous than other girls. Like, I'm surprised.
She is.
I mean, she's still plenty thin, but you can't see her ribs.
Right.
Which I think is kind of an accomplishment. Where's this picture of her kneeling in snow?
Let me look
show
for
me
it for you.
You don't believe
show
it.
Me.
I'll try and find it for you.
Did she say it reached negative 47 degrees when she was modeling? Is that the number that I saw?
That is entirely possible.
That is. So, yeah, that's just bad news. It's not worth it, people.
No, it's not.
I feel bad.
Like, why they? I know they could go there so for the sake of saying that they went there, but they could have just gone to like Tahoe or a studio.
There's the muff picture. So there you're in the
give this to me.
You're in the neighborhood.
The muff picture.
No, they did shoots at on every continent. That was the theme of this year's Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Well, good for her to get to Antarctica, but I don't know if it was worth losing your hearing and sight for.
Yeah, that was one of the things she revealed on the Today Show, was that she had gotten some sort of frostbite. Although she didn't mention any skin thing, she mentioned frostbite and she mentioned slight hearing loss and a problem with her vision.
That's just scary.
It is. It's really weird that would set in later.
Yeah. I guess her core temperature's down and she's trying to get it back up. I don't know how these things work, but I feel bad for her. Hope it was worth it.
It's dumb.
red hot deal. I'm pretty sure
she's kneeling on like a fur blanket. That's not even snow.
She's in
There's
Antarctica.
Snow in the background. How do what?
Okay, it's gonna snow here in a couple of days.
Are there snow people? Like, are there guys? I mean, is this like a snow fetish just population out there that's like, you know what? It's an I like bikinis, but I really like to ski. So I probably would only buy the magazine if you showed me like bikinis where I ski. Maybe a penguin. Can she cuddle a penguin?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Having
or
bet
like
on
a
the
walrus or something.
Having bet on the internet, I know. Yes, there is that. It exists.
Wow.
Because every fetish exists.
She has
on
big
thing.
Boobs.
Yes, she does.
But they look kind of real.
They are. They're absolutely real. She's 20. She looks
she's
great.
20. No, well, just because she's 20, I mean, they just
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, she's genetically blessed.
I was giving
Ted's giving hand signals, yeah, which is hilarious. It's,
yeah, like boobs. Boobs.
Boobs.
I think she's 20. She looks older than that. I don't know much about her.
But. Yeah, she's a tall girl. She's like 5'10", and she is single. She's denied rumors that she was dating Justin Verlander from the Tigers.
Okay.
So, single.
Is that because it's the Tigers?
No, I think no, not at all. I mean, she was.
But because her agent's like, no, they won't want to, you know, over you anymore, so you have to be single.
I doubt that. I'm pretty sure that people would still be super into her. I don't think that would be a big holdback for anybody. It's not the same as, although I was watching Courtney and Kim Take Miami.
Of course you were.
Don't judge me. And
too late.
They alluded to Rob Kardashian dating this girl who is a music star. Although I've looked it up and she's somebody who's sort of musically famous in Britain. So I don't consider that a music star.
Oh,
because there's
is it?
I don't remember her name, but the whole deal with that was her agent had wanted her to be single because that would make her more appealing. Since you mentioned that, this was the other thing. They have ads that sort of go with the swimsuit issue. This one caught my eye. If you look at it, Ted, it's a picture of a bird.
Yes, it is
on a tree. It's a woodpecker, and the copy in the text is, I'm going into Mad Men mode. It says, "A clean pecker always taps it."
No, God, that's horrible.
Don, I wonder what Don Draper would think of that.
No.
Introducing new, fresh, and sexy trademark wipes by Playtex.
No.
The before and after intimate wipe that gets you ready for whatever comes next.
By Playtex?
Yes.
The people who make the baby bottles?
Well,
don't they make tampons?
I think they do make tampons.
Yeah.
They do.
But by the way, whatever comes next is going to be him. And then in all uppercase, clean where it counts.
Get it?
Look for it in the family planning aisle or at freshandsexy.com.
Can I see?
No, I'm actually amazed freshandsexy.com was available. You're going to pay a lot for that. There's no end to the amount of products that people can come up with to try to convince women that they are lacking.
I think this is for
no.
Maybe not.
And
why is that in? That's in Sports Illustrated?
Yeah.
I think it's for men. It says a clean pecker.
No, well, it does say that, but intimate wipes is always for women.
Well, maybe they want you to wipe your wiener off after you've tapped that.
Well, yeah, that's what the curtains are for, Ted.
Oh.
Come on.
This is the stupidest ad I've ever seen. A clean pecker always taps it. What does that even mean?
Hey, ladies, can I buy you a drink? It's okay. I used a wipe.
My pecker's clean.
Let's do it. You know, do they get rid of, like, I don't know, HIV and gonorrhea, too?
No,
what kind of clean pecker?
Ooh.
I'm thinking more just cheese.
Ugh.
Ew. Now smegma free. For your pleasure.
I can't.
No? Okay.
I think they use the woodpecker so that they can run the same ad in National Geographic next month.
That's just dumb.
It is the, it's the only...
well done.
The Nate Darling Show.
Oh.
Cool.
Tool. Whoa. All right. First up in Cooler Tool this week, the South. Ted.
The whole South is a tool.
The entire
South is a tool.
All of it.
Just, what is there to like about the South?
Christiana.
Nothing. Except for New Orleans.
On behalf of the Constitution, tool.
Hey, they just ratified something. The South, it's hot and sweaty. It's not cool at all.
Oh.
So I'm going to go tool.
Hotlanta? No, wrong state. What?
Oh.
It is the wrong state. But entirety of
the South. You said
the South.
I mean,
I did.
Put it all together.
Absolutely. Although Tennessee is categorized, at least Memphis area, as the Mid-South.
South
Whatever
is
the
south.
Fuck that means.
Mid-South.
By the way, we're going to be broadcast safe sometime soon when I stop saying fuck.
Aw.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Up next in Cooler Tool, Old Dude Dads. Christiana.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It just, whatever. Choice.
Whatever choice.
That's all I have. I don't know.
Ted?
Hey, I have no problems with it. Cool. You know, you want a baby. You're going to work hard for it. That means you're going to want to take care of it. And you have someone to change your diapers when you get older.
I'm going to go Tool on this. And here's why I'm going to go Tool. Steve Martin is going to be 77 years old when this kid is 10 and in second grade.
Yeah.
By the time the kid gets out of high school, he's going to be 85 years old.
Hopefully.
If he's alive. 85 years old. That is not at all cool.
Why not?
Because it's ridiculous. I mean, when you're growing up as a kid, you want to be able to do stuff with your dad, not just sit in the rocking chair and talk about the way things used to be when I was your age.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is a banjo player, so even if he was young, he probably would be doing that.
Yeah, but
that's his shtick.
It is now, but when he was a little bit younger, I don't know. I just think it's depriving the kids of having an active father, and I think that's kind of a Tool thing to do. I think it's selfish.
Well, I think being an inactive Tool father is a Tool thing to do, but I don't think all old dads are going to be Tools.
No, not all of them. But
just Steve Martin. Okay.
Somebody make a Venn diagram of old dads and Tools, and we'll figure out where the
Larry
overlap
King,
is.
Larry King, Tony Randall, those guys will all have kids in their late 60s, early 70s. It's like, just because you...
Fertile octogenarian.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Oh. And finally, in Cooler Tool... Oh, by the way, yeah, I said Tool. Suffering for your art, however that might be. Uh-huh. Ted.
You know, if it is an art form and you really want to suffer for it, then by all means do it. If it's you're being true to your art, then yes, suffer for it. If you're doing it for someone else's benefit, that's not so cool, I don't think.
Christiana?
Tool. Also, because I thought that we were going to get there, I just have to say if we could add a fourth item and it was that woodpecker, obviously it would be Tool.
That's the tooliest. But wait, what's wrong with suffering for your art, Christiane? I'm sorry. Need to.
Yeah.
I don't think it's art. And I mean, it's fine. It's a business thing. She's allowed to do.
I'm talking about general.
Whatever
suffering.
She wants. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be specific. Suffering for your art. Whatever your art could be. Your art could be smearing your feces on a wall to make a nice mural. It could be painting a
lovely
sign.
I don't think suffering for your art. I think I'm still going to go with Tool. I think if art comes from your suffering, good. But I don't think like I'm going to make myself a miserable fuck for the sake of producing something because I must bleed.
No, that happens a lot, especially with musicians.
I know, but it's dumb.
I think it's cool only because it shows a dedication to something that
and
a lot of people don't
boobs.
Have.
But you're obsessed with this lady's boobs.
Well, a lot of people are. That's fair.
I'm not obsessed with them. I said they were nice.
They are.
That's obsessive. Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know that show Best Week Ever? It's still on VH1.
Yeah.
It went away, but it came back with a bunch of people who are less famous than the three of us, which is really frightening.
What?
I know. Seriously.
I forget who I am half the time.
Exactly.
I used to like that show.
I did too, and it had people I kind of had heard of. These people know. They have this one woman who is not at all attractive. Oh. She's mildly funny, but she does this one segment called Panties On, Panties Off.
No.
And she talks about, and the whole thing is like, what's sexy and what's not sexy? Ooh, that's really sexy. Panties off. And I just want to throw up in my mouth when I see
terrible.
That. It is. It is. All right. Going to the great state of Vermont. This could go in small town news, but I'm not going to put it there because it's too good. We go to Stratton, Vermont, where a man who admitted to wearing ski boots while he crashed his truck is facing a drunk driving charge.
Well, those things are hard to drive in.
Yeah, you can't flex your ankle.
No, I know. And they're uncomfortable, so I'm not surprised that you'd have to drink a little bit to wear them while you were driving.
While you were driving. Windhall police say they received multiple calls around 7 p.m. concerning a truck that went over an embankment into some trees at the intersection of Mountain Road in Stratton, Vermont. The driver, Christopher Duvall of Greenlawn, New York, told police he was wearing ski boots while driving and was unable to stop at the intersection because apparently he forgot to bend his knee. The Windhall Rescue EMTs determined alcohol may have been a factor in the crash. They used their Sherlock Holmesian deduction. He was arrested for driving under the influence and was cited to appear in court in March. His 2012 Nissan pickup is a total loss.
That's too bad.
It is. It's a perfectly innocent pickup. If he was in L.A., the LAPD would have shot it up or something. But that's another story altogether.
Too soon.
Wow.
Is it?
No.
Is it?
I don't know.
It's too soon. It's 2012,
too late.
Guys.
Or
too late. Too late.
Well, maybe. Thanks to Lincoln, Mississippi has finally ratified the 13th Amendment. And not Yay. And not the President Lincoln, the movie.
It's about time.
And it took a middle-aged recent immigrant from India to set in motion the series of events that eventually led to Mississippi finally ratifying the constitutional amendment banning slavery.
Love it.
Slavery was not banned in Mississippi until just now.
They are working on it, though.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Or, no. I don't know, something.
Gotta have an opinion.
The rousing finale of the movie Lincoln served as his inspiration. It sounds like a joke, but it's true. And even though it's been nearly 150 years since the fateful day in the Capitol of 1864, Mississippi's becoming the final state to officially ratify the 13th Amendment that serves...
They still have stars and bars in their flag?
I don't know.
Is that the state with stars and bars, or is that Bama?
It could be any of them down
it
there.
It could be, yeah.
I mean, that doesn't really...
They have a secret flag in the back. It's all of them.
Oh.
So, the circumstances...
I'm just kidding. I like the South. I'm
no,
sorry.
The South is a tool.
South is tool.
The circumstances for Dr. Ranjan Batra, excuse me if I mispronounce your name, sir, almost inadvertently inserting himself into Mississippi state history are accidental at best. After seeing Lincoln in theaters last November, he went home and did a little bit of internet research, only to discover Mississippi never got around to actually ratifying the amendment. The state did vote to ratify the amendment back in 1995, nearly 20 years after after Kentucky, the second to the last state to ratify the amendment, held its vote. However, through an apparent clerical error, Mississippi never officially notified the United States Archivist of the ratification, meaning that they've officially been on the side of slavery for nearly a century and a half.
It took
Way
until
to go.
The fact that it took until 1995 to actually do the vote, and it's pretty sad, but then they had to wait another 20 years to...
And Kentucky.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're both. The South, guys. South. Tool.
Well, they're just set in their ways. You know, you make excuses for old people. They're just set in their ways. Oh. They're from a different time. That's how they do things.
Jim Crow time.
Jim Crow? Is that like the Black Crows?
It's probably not.
Sam Crow?
Here's a question. Okay, this isn't on the substance of the article, but I'm gonna pose this to Ted as our
resident Jew.
Journalist.
Oh, okay, I was wondering
journalist.
Which hat I was wearing.
There's a statement in there that he went home and did a little bit of internet research. Internet research, isn't that redundant now? Can't you just say research? Like where else does it get done?
I went to the
where do you do it now?
I went to the library when it was open, and I dodged some homeless people, and I took out the Encyclopedia Britannica. And they had nothing on Mississippi, so I went to the other encyclopedia. It was a little outdated, but I would my research there anyway.
Yeah, you're asking me that. Well, let me tell you, when we say research, we do mean any kind of research. I don't know. There are books. Don't books still exist?
They do.
Okay.
I do, but...
I don't know. I don't use books.
What the point is?
Books are for suckers.
Know.
Wikipedia is where I get all my
I went to a bookstore today, though, and I bought some books. It was exciting. I'm sorry. I was killing time for a reservation, or I would have bought them on Amazon, but then I wanted to support local, so it was like local show support or local business support or local show support, and then I went round and round, and I had liberal guilt, and then I had some pancakes.
Well, if you want something immediately, that's another story. I went to Barnes & Noble, and I got the magazine. I got that magazine. I got two
Barnes & Noble's not local. Jerk!
Well,
you should go to Avid Reader.
Well,
it's
Avid...
closer.
Where?
Ow.
It's
where?
On...
where?
It's right across from Tower. It used to be the tower, one of the tower
stores.
Oh,
okay.
They do. They have pretty, I mean, they have, it's a relatively
magazine?
Full service bookshop. They got books, magazines, newspapers.
Yeah, they need magazines.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had to go to Natomas anyway. That's, the people around the country are fascinated by the geographical layout of Sacramento, as they should be.
Well, damn tootin'.
Yeah, that's right.
Go on the internet and look at it.
Ted, I've got some Jewish news for you.
Ooh.
Okay, the first rule of Jewish Fight Club is if somebody says ow, you stop.
That's not it, though.
No, that's...
Sarah Silverman's sister and niece were arrested at Jerusalem's sacred Western Wall. That's according to the Jerusalem Post. Her sister, Rabbi Susan Silverman, and her daughter, Hallel, were detained. Did I pronounce that right?
I haven't looked at the spelling, but probably not.
Hallel.
Oh, Hallel, okay.
Yeah, I got it right.
Sorry.
Probably not.
I don't know.
How dare you insult me?
I'm just saying.
They were detained along with eight other women for wearing... Talliot, which I know I mispronounced, prayer shawls that were worn by Orthodox Jewish men. The women were part of the group Women of the Wall, an organization that visits the site each month wearing traditional male religious garb to protest Orthodox control of the holy site.
You can get arrested for that?
If you're a lady.
That's some fucked up shit right there.
Reports indicate that anywhere between 150 and 300 people took part in the demonstration, during which Women of the Wall's founder, Annette Hoffman, was also arrested. The arrests occurred during a monthly service
That's
featuring...
That's a nod, right?
It is. It's okay. He's doing his best.
I'm trying.
For a goy, he does a good job.
I try.
All right.
The arrests occurred during a monthly service featuring veterans from the 1967 Six Days War who fought at the Western Wall. It's unacceptable that the police are stopping women from wearing the starts with a T.
Well, I'd say Taliesin, but they say Taliot. So
there you go. It's like Iran. I can't believe they're stopping people from praying in one certain way or another. That's from somebody else who's a paratrooper who fought in 1967. Sarah Silverman also voiced her support for her family tweeting, because that's how you do it.
Oh, yeah.
So proud of my amazing sister and niece for their balls out. Sorry, I'm thinking it's a British word.
You're trying to make it a fancy Yiddish.
Yeah, it's balls
or
out.
Hebrew word, and it's balls, just balls out.
Balls out civil disobedience.
I thought that was hyphenated, to be fair.
Yeah. So. Well, it's Twitter. You only have so many characters. You are the tits. Hashtag Women of the Wall.
Balls out and tits. Covers all the bases. Two of them.
So, and the reason this is an issue, in 2003, the Israeli Supreme Court ruled that worshippers at the wall must, quote, uphold the customs of the site, which means women are forbidden from reading the Torah, wearing male, damn it, I can't speak anymore.
That's English, not Hebrew.
Male prayer shawls. Or singing loudly. So keep it down.
That makes me very upset.
Keep it down, ladies.
I sort of read about the story on a different outlet, and some people were commenting that they didn't, I don't know if they understood the distinction, or like they'd been to Israel and they'd been to the wall and prayed there. And is it just the way in which these women were doing it? Because some people can get away with praying there just fine. Oh, women, like women,
can,
I mean.
Women go to the wall. You're just apparently not supposed to wear a male
prayer shawl.
Just
not supposed to wear a dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Do women ever, is that prayer shawl only ever worn by men? Is there like a women's version of it? Or?
Well, in some light conservative and reform movement, women will wear the talisim or taliot and the kippot, you know, the head coverings. But in Orthodox, you're not supposed to, and you know it's very separated. There's mechitza separating the men from the women, and at the Western Wall, there's also something separating the men from the women. It's not great. My humble Jewish opinion.
You know the Jews, they're set in their ways. Just like the South.
Just like the South.
See, it comes around like that.
I guess so.
This amused me because golf is silly. Meth lab was found in a porta potty in the middle of a golf course.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Where else would you make your meth?
Yeah. Duh.
Sand trap? No. I don't know.
Yeah, there's nothing enjoyable having to do your bathroom business in a porta potty. They smell, they're dirty. And you're either usually super hot or super cold while you're inside. Uh-huh. But a porta potty meth lab on a golf course, it is a thing now.
That's a hole in one.
Mm-hmm. In Oklahoma, investigators found a mini meth lab inside a porta potty in the middle of a golf course. That's right. Let's go live to K4.
I want you to know we're going to continue our coverage on the winter storm for you in just a moment.
But we'd like to get you caught up on other news as well today. Police in Purcell were working, of all things, a porta potty as a crime scene. It was inside a golf course porta potty.
I've been in porta potties that could be classified as crime scenes.
We talked with investigators earlier today. She joins us live from the newsroom.
I don't understand.
I guess the question is, how is that possible?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Linda, it happened. Drug agents have been dealing with pop-up meth labs as users become
pop-up
more
meth
creative.
Lab.
But they say out of all the strange places they busted people for making meth, they've never found anyone making it inside of a porta potty.
Undercover agents kept golfers and residents at bay as they diffused a mini meth lab on this
golfers
golf
and residents.
If only it had a sticker of like a little, you know, I don't know, a little meth
Methleaf
cooking thing on the outside of it so you could easily identify it.
It's just a Breaking Bad thing.
When police arrived, they soon realized someone had been manufacturing meth.
A shake and bake type meth lab. They use small containers. In this case, it was sports drink.
There were three bottles.
That's not Gatorade.
Before detectives arrived.
If someone had been in the porta pot when it happened,
porta pot?
It they might have got hurt by the flying plastic and the chemicals.
Agents were able to neutralize.
I love how he said it with a little chuckle in his voice as though it would be funny.
It's kind of scary because it's right across the street.
Joanne Larrabee's mother lives feet in front of the golf course. While she understands the seriousness of this situation, she can't help but chuckle over the irony of someone making what's called one-pot meth inside a porta potty, then sitting there to get high.
I've heard of strange things, but not in a porta potty on a golf course.
I've heard of strange things in a porta potty before.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, people.
Mm.
I don't know. That's all I got.
Oh, people. I don't know.
Oh.
That's all I got. Yeah, well, I have something.
I know you do.
And it's not really about meth at all, but...
Roll another...
Yeah. That woman that got pulled over, this was blasting at the same time. That's probably what happened.
That was it.
I mean, if you're going by the Drug Task Force with your marijuana leaf sticker, blasting Afro Man from the album Bong Hits. Yeah.
I mean, you got a big old pot leaf in your window.
He has a pot fly, that's right.
Well, in Tennessee, maybe.
I didn't know they came in red, but.
Three-leafed red pot. That's special kind.
And I know why, man. Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
How was that a hit? What is wrong with people?
A catchy hook or something. I don't know.
It speaks to people who get high, like old ladies who drive through Tennessee. Oh, I love that jam.
Ted's old lady voice.
So a little group of three decided to get the Valentine's mojo going a day early. February 13th, a menage a trois went horribly wrong when a North Dakota man stabbed another male participant when he refused to switch positions during the threesome.
He had a knife handy. I don't know.
So he reached into the couch and retrieved a 12-inch butcher knife.
That's where I keep mine.
That is where I keep mine. I mean, a butcher block takes up so much room on the counter.
Well, yeah, you never know when you're going to need one.
Right.
Ashley Hunter, 33, was charged with felony aggravated assault for allegedly stabbing Orlando DeWitt in the arm during the bizarre encounter. Mm. Orlando DeWitt. I wonder if he's related to our friend Noel DeWitt.
Could be.
It sounds like something Noel would be involved with. Not that Noel would do anything weird. Cops report that Hunter and DeWitt, who met in prison, had been partying with several female acquaintances at a Fargo bar when they returned to Hunter's residence. That was after a 2:30 a.m. McDonald's pit stop.
Glad we got that.
DeWitt told police he, quote, began kissing on the couch with one of the women named Leticia. Soon, they were, quote, under the covers and they had their pants off, which led, of course, to the new couple having sex. DeWitt added that he twice caught Hunter watching the living room action from his adjacent bedroom.
Oh, God.
At one point, DeWitt reported Hunter, quote, came out of the bedroom and began kissing on Leticia's breasts. In short order, Leticia began to perform oral sex on Hunter. It appears that DeWitt was continuing to have sex with Leticia while she was performing double duty. And that's when the trouble began.
Ooh, probably began before that.
As always, Hunter then asked to switch places with Orlando, according to a Fargo Police Department report.
Oh,
would you like to write that one up? Orlando told him no, and Hunter became upset. During the ensuing argument, DeWitt called Hunter a fucking retard.
And that's why we don't use the R word.
Which infuriated Hunter. See, it does make you angry. He yelled at DeWitt and ordered him to leave the residence. I wonder if he was still inside at that point. Listen, I got my dick in this bitch. You get out of here. I don't know if that's what he sounds like.
I don't know either.
He might sound like this. Pardon me, I have my dick buried balls deep in this bitch. Would you please leave the residence?
Hmm.
Although I doubt it. DeWitt recalled that Hunter, who threatened to, quote, fuck him up and kill him, reached into the couch and retrieved a 12-inch butcher knife. DeWitt and Leticia, both naked, fled to the bedroom. Hunter, knife in hand, subsequently forced his way into the bathroom and continued to threaten DeWitt. Okay, yeah, they went into the bathroom to hide. Orlando said he decided to run for the front door. The nude DeWitt reached the home's front door, but as he went to open the exterior door, he felt the knife cutting the back of his left arm. While fleeing the home, DeWitt, who was not seriously injured, grabbed Leticia's phone and he called 911.
The moral of the story. There's many morals, I suppose.
There's a lot of them there.
Stay out of prison.
Well, they were out of prison. So that's good.
Well, if they hadn't gone to prison, they wouldn't have met each other, which means they wouldn't have had this awkward menage. I don't know.
I think the lesson here is don't have sex on the couch while someone watches from the bedroom.
Especially if you met in prison.
Yeah. I mean, really, have sex in the bedroom and close the door so that the other person can be in the living room on the couch, maybe watching TV and entertaining themselves in another way.
Who just, like, strolls into another room and joins people having sex besides these guys? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think they've made the best choices in life, though, so far.
Not to judge.
You win the understatement of the day. I don't think they made the wise choices.
Make good choices.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, it's hard to argue, you know, one end or the other. I mean, there is a preferential end of the lady in a three-way. But, you know.
Well said, Christiana.
Whoa. Oh,
cat on the stove.
Yeah, that's not good.
Hey, get down.
Don't worry. Ace, get down. Ace.
There he goes.
There we go.
All right.
It's the best part of the podcast when I yell at my cat. People know. People understand. I do it from my living room, damn it. I don't know. I have no idea. I would think that probably being in prison, their inhibitions were a little bit lowered in terms of watching people do private things like poop.
Oh, that's a good point. Or shiv.
Yeah, I mean.
I only shank in private.
Yeah, behind closed doors. When you get behind closed doors. Now, there's a group in Indiana, which is not in the South, that wants a traditional high school prom that bans gay and lesbian students.
Close enough.
Yeah. Some parents, students, and clergy, of course clergy, in eastern Indiana City want a separate high school prom banning gay and lesbian students. The groups of supporters met at the Sullivan First Christian Church, which I would argue not a very Christian thing to be doing, to plan a separate, quote, traditional prom for Sullivan High School students that would prohibit gays from attending. Quote, we want to make the public see that we love the homosexuals, but we don't think it's right, nor should it be accepted.
Do you know what love means? Because that's not what love means.
It means never having to say you're sorry.
Well, I want to know what love is, but that's another story
altogether. I want you to know. Sorry, you can't do that and not expect me to keep going with that song.
I did expect. That's why I paused.
I want to know what love is. Oh, the cat was like, what is that sound? I wouldn't make that sound.
If we can get a good prom, then we can convince more people to come and follow what they believe, student Kynan Johnson told the TV station. Among the supporters is Diana Medley, no relation to Bill Medley, a special education teacher at nearby North Central Junior Senior High School, who told the station that she doesn't believe anyone is born gay.
Everything about this woman is repugnant. Just go read the next paragraph and then just let me go.
I don't agree with homosexuality and it's offensive to us, she said. Homosexual students come to me with their problems and I don't agree with them, but I care about them. It's the same thing with my special needs kids. I think God puts everyone in our lives for a reason.
Go, Christiana, go.
Okay, where to start? She's a special education teacher, so she should have some kind of empathy for marginalized groups on campus, but apparently not enough to not marginalize more of them, even though she recognizes that she has... Okay, does she not agree with her special ed kids? Are her special ed kids not born that way?
It's a choice.
Is that a choice, too? But then she says that the gay kids are like the special ed kids, which is also kind of offensive, the way that she said it. And then she goes on to say that she doesn't think that they have a purpose in life, and she's working with children, and it makes me sad, and it's terrible, and no.
When asked if she thinks gays have a purpose in life, she said, no, I honestly don't. Sorry, but I don't. I don't understand it. A gay person isn't going to come up and make some changes unless it's to realize it was a choice, and they're choosing God.
Wow, that lady needs to be fired. I'm serious. I don't know. I cannot hire someone. I would not want to have my kid going to a school that has this as a teacher telling, I don't know, kids that they're not, I don't know, fit to be humans and not a purpose in life.
Well, area pastors are also voicing support for the separate prom movement. Quote, Christians have always been prepared for a fight. Jesus gave us armor for the front, not the back.
What armor? What do we have on the front of us? Literally, there's nothing different. There's ribcage on both sides. What on earth? I know they don't like science. But what the hell?
What does that mean? Is that why they think gay is not?
What is the armor on the front?
I don't know what that means.
I believe it means like genitals. Genitals.
That's not armor. Fuck no. I don't want anyone to stab me in my junk. That's not armor.
It's a weapon.
It's put that thing away.
Oh my God, no! That's why we have. That's why you made cups to protect our armor.
This minister went on to say, "We're not running anymore," but he may have to because Dan Savage is onto them now. And Dan Savage, in addition to being gay and very, very vocal and very active, is an incredibly bright man who knows no end when putting it to people who are silly and ignorant. He said, "There's no way to stop the haters at Sullivan High School from holding an independent prom for the special bigoted kids," he wrote. "But here's what we can do. We can make a noise loud enough that all the queer kids at Sullivan High School hear it. Those kids need to know that there are people, a lot of people, who think that this expletive is wrong."
You know, I will, not in any way as a defense for what they're doing, I will say that the way that this article was presented and the way I've seen the story presented, they make it sound like they're trying to have the school ban queer kids from the prom. They're not. They want to have their own prom,
right,
and only let specified people into it, to which I say, you know what, like, go for it. You bigots can have your own party. It's fine.
I agree.
As long as nobody, you know, I would hope people wouldn't go to it. But I mean, same with the Boy Scouts. I think you should change. I don't have a son. I don't care. But if you want to go be bigoted on your own, then you go be bigoted. As long as you're not getting any government money to be bigoted, then go nuts.
What if your daughter wanted to join the Boy Scouts?
I'm not sure they let her do that either.
Exactly. Now, is that a problem?
She has no armor in front.
It's not a problem for... It's only a problem if she wants to... No, well, I mean, it's her problem. It's their... They don't have to... A private organization does not have to change what it wants to do, but it needs to be prepared for...
I know this isn't a field...
kind of...
I know it's an end-around discussion, but...
end-around.
The Boy Scouts doesn't have to... I don't think the Boy Scouts has to open. If Augusta National, whatever golf course, wants to be bigoted, then it can be bigoted, too.
You can do...
If you're a private organization, go for it, but then I'm going to hope that, you know... Boy Scouts, I hope that my friends with sons... their sons are not going to do Boy Scouts, which makes their Boy Scout father sad, but they're not going to do Boy Scouts because of the stance the organization has. I mean, long term, it's only going to hurt itself because I think fewer people are bigoted these days. So long term, the organization is not going to survive if the, you know, people who would be good, beneficial members of the organization don't join it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think the Boy Scouts are sort of right up there with buggy whips and other old-timey things that people don't have any use for anymore.
I think there's a definite use for that kind of youth-oriented program. I think the ones that we offer at the Y are far better, of course, because I'm super biased. I think there's a place for that. There's an important place for that kind of social structure and a program like that for kids. But but bigoted is bad. And even, it's okay for them to be single gender. It's fine. But not based on sexuality. Like that.
Yeah. And for anybody who says I've don't believe people are born gay, you've obviously haven't really spent any time around any actual gay people.
No.
Who are not in the phase where they are sort of in the closet and just discovering themselves. I mean, adults who are gay and are both vocal and out and proud of who they are, as they should be. If you meet people like our friend Larry, and you're like, I don't think people are born gay, then you're not looking at that. You're just not paying attention.
Well, I mean, I think they've done studies. If you don't know, you're more likely to support marriage equality if you have gay friends,
because
you realize, wow, look, also humans.
Yeah, they're
capable of love like me.
Gay people,
and it's valid,
just like you and me.
You know, I mean, it's the same thing. Anybody with bigotry generally has not spent actual time getting to know the object of their fear.
Yeah, well, sometimes bigotry comes from, if you've seen Gran Torino, from hanging around from the wrong element.
I have not seen it.
The wrong element of a group that you don't happen to care for.
I guess.
So.
That's just, I mean, well, the wrong humans.
Right, but that happens to be the representation of the group that you see.
I will not.
You see... now
get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. See, this is good parenting to me, because I think as a parent you should encourage your children to do things as early as possible. But this has been a problem. A Pennsylvania woman who allegedly allowed her 3-year-old son to pump gas into the family car charged with endangering the welfare of a child.
How can the kid even do that? I mean, those things can be unwieldy sometimes, and they're heavy. My mom can't even pump gas. True story.
Yeah,
those are more advanced today. I don't know.
Teresa Morin, camera 46, was named in a misdemeanor criminal complaint filed in district court. According to investigators, cops responded to a Giant gas station in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, for a report of a toddler using the gas pump. I didn't know that was a crime. Officers discovered, however, that the child was no expert pump jockey. The witness, Gregory McCarter, reported that he observed, quote, a female instructing a very young child on how to pump gas into the vehicle. He said he saw the boy pumping gas into the vehicle by himself, added the boy must have pulled the pump out before releasing the handle because he ended up spraying gasoline onto himself.
Okay, that's a bad parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, well, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't do that, but...
You, if you did, you would hold on to the thing, like, you would hold on to it
with
them.
You ever tried
to
get any errands done with a goddamn 3-year-old?
Well,
like,
sure
you have
hard.
To include it with them, otherwise they
no,
like the screaming the whatever.
Exactly.
I don't believe...
let them pump the gas while you go inside and get your smokes.
Yeah, eyewitness testimony is not very reliable either.
I know, but police reviewed the surveillance video, confirmed the female driver had allowed her toddler to pump gas by himself.
How did he do? Is he super tall? Did he even do it?
Into a Toyota RAV4, so that's pretty far up.
How did he do it?
I don't know.
Physically, how did this kid? I want to see the video.
Show
it to me.
The video, an investigator added, showed the toddler spraying himself with gasoline as he removed it from the pump. While she left the boy at the gas station before police arrived she and the boy left the gas station before the police arrived around 9:15 p.m. Witnesses provided the cops with the vehicle's license plate number. When questioned by police about the incident, she admitted that she had, quote, allowed her son to help her in pumping gas, confirmed that he had sprayed gasoline onto both of them.
Yikes. And now there's a picture of her and her kid from Facebook on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Now she can get harassed by everyone who thinks that she's a horrible parent. Congratulations, lady.
But not a bigot, because she obviously has a biracial child.
Oh.
Even though they blurred his face,
maybe
it's quite obvious.
You're being bigoted. He just has crazy hair.
No, I can see his arm, and she's the whitest woman ever. So she mixed with somebody. She did not mix with another white guy to make a kid whose arm is that color.
I don't know. You should see, like, the skin tones of the rest of my family and then compare them to mine.
Well, I mean, that's that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue your family skin
tones.
Didn't
we establish in the first story of the show that you can't judge based on one picture?
Yes, we did establish that.
I don't know. It's fine.
I'm just saying it looks like she's not big.
I'm impressed she could get her kid to do something productive, because I can't. So
there's a little bit of admiration in there.
I mean,
job, lady.
Turning now to Florida, a West Palm Beach man accused of illegal butt enhancement has been arrested again. Calvin Butler is accused.
Butler.
Again, after a fourth alleged victim comes forward. Second time in less than a month, West Palm Beach man has been arrested on the charge that he performed illegal butt enhancement. Calvin Edward Butler, also known as Tamika Butler, was arrested Tuesday after a fourth alleged victim came forward claiming they received illegal injections into their buttocks. Jail records showed Butler was being held on a $100,000 bond on the charge of practicing without a license, resulting in bodily injury. It was unknown whether he has an attorney. Butler is 44, who was arrested back in January on charges of unlicensed practice of health care causing serious bodily harm after he injected silicone into at least two patients' buttocks at a motel room. Why are you getting medical procedures at a hotel room? I'm sorry, a motel room.
This person's face must be where he hid the rest of the evidence, too, because it's so full of fillers and creepy crap.
He's a transsexual. With the victim lying down, Butler would pour out a clear liquid from a Pedialyte bottle, telling the woman it was sterile silicone. After pouring the liquid into a plastic cup, he filled syringes from the cup, which he used to inject into the woman's buttocks.
Who lays there while this happens and thinks this is a good idea? Oh,
man,
a Dixie
I wish
cup's
I had
out.
The problem where somebody had to put fat into my ass.
You grow your own?
I grow my own.
That's the way to go. Once the injections were complete, Butler would clean any blood or fluid from the skin and use crazy glue on the incisions. Well, that's only good medical science.
That's what crazy glue is. No, that super glue was invented as part of government R&D to seal like wounds in the Vietnam era.
There you go.
So that part is sound.
Here's why they did
maybe,
it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Actual medical procedure, probably a little bit more than the $200 per injection session that they were being charged. The woman soon began to suffer several open and woozing wounds, fevers, and swollen lymph nodes, and went to the emergency room for treatment. She was released, but later readmitted with a long word, which is a swelling of the lymph nodes due to a bacterial infection, has not fully recovered, suffers from chronic pain and a chronic cough, which I don't even know how that happens, is now disfigured, according to the report. The second victim, a man, said he received weekly injections from Butler between June and October at the motel. When the man began developing open sores at the injection sites and contacted Butler, Butler told him to toughen up and gave him oral antibiotics.
I think you said oral. You're going to stop
oral
it there.
What?
The sores increased in size, and the man was admitted to the hospital with a severe infection. Doctors performed surgery on his buttocks and found cultures with MRSA and other bacterial infections.
Disgusting.
So, people.
It's pretty bad.
People.
Don't do it.
If you want to work on your butt, there's two things you can do. You can eat a lot more, or you can do a lot of squats. Do not have someone inject stuff into you at the motel.
Even the hotel.
Yeah, at least have it be a hotel. Don't be able to walk into your room from your car. You should have to go in of doors to get to the door of your room if you're going to have somebody inject things into your butt in a medical manner.
Okay. If they're not medical injections, that's your own business.
Yeah, exactly.
I would verify that.
Little small town news from upstate New York. This is kind of sad. Keysville, New York. Voters decided to dissolve the Adirondack Village of Keysville on the line between Essex and Clinton counties. The vote was 268 in favor of dissolution to 176 opposed. The mayor said, "I've always preached democracy is the way to go. The vote came out. The people didn't want government. Now they got their way." The village board is going to meet to draft a dissolution plan, which will spell out how the village services will be taken over by two different towns and two different counties, actually, too, because it's right on the border. That's going to be a creation of special taxing districts. The plan has to be completed in 180 days and presented to the public. If the public then accepts the plan, the village government would officially dissolve at the end of next year. Half a dozen village jobs would end, and a lot of them would get snapped up in the jobs in other towns. But, yeah, a town that's been around for, like, 100... It's ridiculous. They just said, we're paying too many taxes. We're just going to not have a town anymore.
And do they know that they will still have to pay taxes?
I think they think they're going to get away with paying less in taxes, but that's not usually how it works. Because the people in the other towns that are going to have to absorb them aren't going to go, "Well, I'm just not going to pay. I'll be fine. We'll bring them on in. We'll take care of them."
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's I've never heard of such a thing. I've heard of ghost towns, but this isn't a ghost town situation.
It's a village.
It is. It's very, very strange.
Do we have any villages around here?
I don't know. I don't think so.
We do have some in California, I think.
Do you? Okay.
Is Fair Oaks a village?
I want to say something like Carmel is a village. Maybe it's a city. I don't know. I feel like there's like some.
Well, there's Valley Village.
I don't know if that's a something.
I don't think it is. Yeah, in the Northeast, there's lots of villages and towns and hamlets and the like. So that's something it's a little bit different.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right, so now we're actually going to get to real small town news. Let me turn that down so we can talk about it.
Small town news, small town news. It's a medley.
Disruptive man leaves after police called to Diamonds, but female friend winds up arrested.
Oh, snap.
This is from Bangor, Maine, or Banga. Expecting to have to escort a male patron out of Diamonds Gentlemen's Club, Bangor police officers instead wound up escorting and arresting his disruptive female friend. At 1:15 a.m., they get a call from Diamonds about an intoxicated male who was refusing to leave. When the officers responded to the club, they arrived and began talking to the male subject, but then engaged in a female in conversation while talking to the male. The female was very loud and very drunk, and she was very aggressive to the police officers there. You know how drunk women can be.
drunk men.
Drunk girls.
Guns.
Yeah, drunk girls, sometimes fun, sometimes funny, sometimes not. Well, she did not obey the warnings and was using some pretty coarse language, so they took her into custody.
Nope.
but not before she aggressively fought her arrest. Two officers, not one, but two, were needed to get her in control and cuff her, and there was a big struggle to get her into the car.
Oy vey, Mayor.
Yeah, she tried to go back into the club for her purse, but the officer restrained her and asked an employee to retrieve the purse, which they did. In the meantime, the male friend, whose behavior initially prompted the call to police, he left.
I'm out.
Steal my thunder.
I'm gone.
When they ran her ID through the system, they found out she was out of jail on bail conditions, including no consumption of alcohol.
Uh-oh.
She refused to submit to the blood alcohol test, which is, of course, another violation of bail. Whoops. that's insane. She was charged with disorderly conduct, refusal to submit to arrest. I love that charge. Violation of bail conditions. She's back in jail now for a 17-day sentence. Oh. New update. She got out on Saturday.
Oh, good.
Updated. She...
Freedom!
The last quote from the police officer, she continued to be abusive and uncooperative during the ride to jail and during the whole booking process.
Well, what a scoop.
I know. That's small town news. But I have bonus small town news.
Oh.
From also Bangor, Maine, fans of Dice Arts Restaurant, the wildly popular buttery flaky crust YouTube video featuring longtime patrons can now get themselves decked out in some buttery flaky gear. That's right, they have a new line of t-shirts that feature the well-known line that the Palmers had a hard time saying.
I wish I knew what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'm going to let you know exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about buttery flaky crust. And
the line is baked in a buttery flaky crust. Baked on a buttery crust.
It's close.
They're trying to shoot a commercial for this little restaurant, Dice Arts, and they've got this old couple who are obviously local, and he has to say baked in a buttery flaky crust.
Buttery.
Baked in a buttery flavored crust. Baked in a buttery flavored crust.
Baked in a buttery flaky crust.
And now his wife's giving him crap.
Baked in a buttery flaky crust.
Here we go.
Baked on a buttery, crispy crust.
Oh, poor guy.
Flaky. I left flaky out again. See, sure they have that cue card up there. Baked on a buttery. Okay. Baked on a buttery, crispy crust.
Where are you coming? All right.
Jack, flaky.
I thought I said flaky.
That's awesome.
Okay. Baked on a buttery, flaky crust.
You should have had me do that.
Oh, yeah, she loves that good.
Baked in the buttery, okay. Flaky.
Baked in a buttery, crispy crust.
My
God damn it, crispy, okay.
Yeah.
Crispy.
Flaky.
Flaky.
Big smiles looking at the camera.
God.
And she continues to just give him shit and be like, I can't believe this guy is this fucking stupid and I've been married to him for 60 years.
Baked in a buttery, flaky crust. Did I screw up again?
Yes, you did.
I did?
Big smile.
Baked in a buttery, flavored.
Flaky.
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 I lost my shit.
Flaky.
Wow.
Flaky.
Okay, here we go.
Baked in a buttery flaky crust.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of work.
Baked in a bait. Oh.
Yeah, they decided to go, okay, let's have her do it since he keeps screwing it up.
Oh.
Because she knows what she's doing, right? We'll do this one time. We'll be out of here.
Boy,
baked in a buttery crispy flake.
Jack, I like the camera zooming back into position every time.
Can you see the line, ma'am?
Baked in a buttery, flaky crust.
Hey,
she
did it.
Yahoo!
So
the line is baked.
So they finally got it right.
I wonder how long that took. That would be the longest shoot ever.
And I've been on shoots like that when people can't get a line right, and it's really hard when you're working with... I mean, they're obviously not professional actors. And when you get people who just can't get it right, it's really hard for you to not yell at them.
Yeah.
You pull like a... what's his name? Why are you in my light? I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Christian Bale. Christian Bale. That's what I was trying to get to. Christian Bale.
That was a good Family Guy hit with that.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a good time. So anyway, we got a double shot of Banga Bane and Small Town News.
Yay.
A little bit of frivolity to end the show with, because that's what we do here.
A little bit.
What? Don't forget to join us next week. The Golden Naked Man Awards will be on iTunes and NateDarlingShow.com when you wake up on Monday morning. And starting in March, two shows a week. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Town, step off the bus, shake off the where you came from dust. Grab your guitar, walk down the street. Sign says Nashville, Tennessee. But I have found it's a crazy town full of neon dreams. Everybody plays, everybody sings. Hollywood with a touch of twang. To be a star, you gotta bang, bang, bang. Bend those strings till the Hank comes out. Make all the drunk girls scream and shout. We love it, we hate it, we're all just trying to make it in this crazy town. You play for free and you pray for a honky-tonk destiny. You cut your teeth in the smoky bars and live off the tips from a pickle jar.